Well, the situation in Australia and every jurisdiction except the Northern Territory is that surrogacy is only permitted altruistically. That is, if you can find someone who will do it for only reimbursement of their medical expenses. So if you don't have a family member or very close friend who's willing to carry a child for you, then the only alternative you have for starting a family is to go overseas to engage in surrogacy.
And what are the most common places people are going to get surrogacy?
It is changing very rapidly. So it used to be India, but India then introduced laws that significantly limited the people who could go for surrogacy over there. So you had to have been married for at least 2 years. So that excluded gay couples, it excluded de facto couples, and excluded people who'd been married less than 2 years, obviously. Then people started going to Thailand, and then that government clamped down on it. Now I gather Nepal, Cambodia and Mexico are options that are being explored.
Okay, you mentioned that the Northern Territory is the one jurisdiction in Australia which allows surrogacy. Why does the Northern Territory stand alone in that?
Look, it really is a patchwork quilt of regulation. Under the Australian Constitution, surrogacy is an area that falls within the jurisdiction of the states and territories, so they all get to make their own laws on this area, and there's just no uniformity. So Queensland, New South Wales and the ACT all make it criminal to go overseas to engage in surrogacy, although that obviously isn't stopping anyone at all, and there's never been a prosecution or even a conviction of that. The Northern Territory just hasn't regulated or hasn't enacted legislation in this area. It may do at some stage in the future, but at the moment it simply doesn't have any laws on it.
And do you think the laws are effective enough at the moment to stop people from participating in this commercial currency and this commercial surrogacy?
Not at all. Not at all. When it comes to the case of someone who comes back into Australia with a child that they've obtained through commercial surrogacy overseas, they're not going to be prosecuted because it wouldn't be in the best interest of the child to convict one or both of their parents for engaging in commercial surrogacy. And in commercial surrogacy is in all matters, the best interest of the child should be the primary consideration. So it's simply not in children's interest to go about prosecuting their parents.
So what kind of legal reforms do you think are necessary to sort of get a better handle of this in Australia?
Well, the federal government is currently conducting an inquiry into exactly that question. I think what is needed is that we allow and tightly regulate compensated surrogacy in Australia. So instead of forcing infertile couples to go offshore to start their families, we should have a system here where it is possible to have reasonable compensation to women who are willing to be surrogates. We have a world-class health system here, which is not often the case in the countries that these couples are going to start their family. We also have, and this is really important, a very good legal framework that governs fertility procedures in this country. So children conceived through surrogacy in places like India and Thailand and Nepal have very little chance, very little opportunity to ascertain their biological, their genetic origins. In other words, it's likely to be an egg donor that comes from somewhere in Eastern Europe, let's say. There's no records kept. So if they want to, the child conceived through surrogacy, if they want to in due course track down their egg donor, they simply are not going to be able to. Whereas in Australia, we have tight regulation of all that, and any child conceived through fertility treatment can in due course obtain information about their donor, be it a sperm donor or an egg donor, and that's their right to obtain that sort of information. So for all those reasons, we should be allowing compensated surrogacy in Australia, because I think we can do it really well, and we can do it with the best interests of the children in mind.
You mentioned that this is something the government is currently looking at. What barriers do you think, or arguments against implementing a system like that, do you think would exist?
Well, there's a lot of fear-mongering that goes on around surrogacy, and I read a quote the other day from a doctor who was involved with IVF when that started approximately 40 years ago. And he said, looking back, he said there was so much fear at that time that we were creating test tube babies and plastic babies and all this sort of thing. And yet you look at how well accepted IVF is now. Mm. I think surrogacy is in the place that IVF was 40 years ago. It's new science, relatively. It's new technology, and people are scared. So I think what we need, in part, is an education campaign that makes it very clear that this is simply another means of children being conceived and birthed. It doesn't have to be exploitative. It certainly, there's the potential for that to happen, and we've seen it happen in other countries. But I think in Australia, we could regulate it such that it's not exploitative of the women who put themselves forward to be surrogates. It's not selling of children. In most cases, one of the intended parents is genetically connected to the child. So I think if we can raise awareness and have an education campaign that really explains exactly what surrogacy is and, more importantly, what it is not, then we'd be in a position to move forward smoothly.
All right, Professor. Thanks so much for talking to us on 2SER this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.